Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Last week, President Obama signed the HEARTH Act into law. It is the Helping Expedite and Advance Responsible Tribal Home Ownership Act, and it allows or increases tribal authority over leasing of tribal lands for housing and commercial uses. Will buying a home on Pueblo land become easier? What about business development for tribes? We'd like to hear from you this morning on the KUNM Call-In Show. You can call 277-5866 locally here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can post your comments online at KUNM.org or email callinshow@KUNM.org. Joining us to discuss this morning, we have Governor Arlen Kataki of Zuni Pueblo. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Lee.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. I'm curious if you can kind of set up the importance of this act for us and explain what some of the challenges are for home ownership and land leasing on tribal land.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. Appreciate being able to join you today regarding to the HEARTH. Basically, just a real quick background on this. The HEARTH Act originated in Pueblo country, where tribes have been utilizing the HUD Section 184 home loan program to build homes on tribal lands for the last 10 years. So first, I wish to, again, give much appreciation to Congressman Heinrich, who sponsored the act and who has been an adamant supporter for the first time we presented our request to him to allow us to enact our own leasing laws on our lands. I also wish to express gratitude to our New Mexico congressional representative, all who co-sponsored the act and who made time to listen to why the act is important to us. HEARTH recognizes the sovereignty right of Indian tribes to make their own laws and be governed by them. These are our lands. We should be able to say who can live and do business on them. Congress has listened and has spoken. Now we as tribes can begin the task of writing tribal residential and business lease laws.
So what was the system, or what is the current system that's in place now that this law changes? How does it work for a member of the Zuni tribe, for example, to build a house at Zuni Pueblo?
Basically, for Zuni right now, currently we have four families that have borrowed money under Section 184 program to build their homes, and we're still continuing to work with a number of other families. On average, it takes about 12 months for loans under this program to close. Outside Indian country, a loan closes within a matter of days or weeks. This is unimaginable in Indian country, where federal laws require federal government approval of a lease, residential lease, and a mortgage that's been approved by a tribe. The federal approval process takes anywhere from 2 months to years, depending on the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, workload. And so with this HEARTH Act, the time frame requiring for leases will be much more shorter than having to wait for years.
So how has that delay in the processing of leases and mortgages and funding for homes, how does that affect the Zuni community?
Well, prior to the HEARTH Act, as we all know, time is of an essence. Families wanting to get loans and leases in place with the long time frame that it takes for these processes to be approved, again, it just sets up a burden for that. And also, too, is that banks would be reluctant to provide loans to tribal members if they wanted to do mortgage lending.
Because of that long delay in the federal processing, right?
Yes.
Got it. So does that mean that folks at Zuni Pueblo are living with family? Does that mean that folks have chosen to live off the Pueblo because of the delay in being able to build or buy a home?
Yes, that's correct. And most of our community members do live off the reservation because when they do have that opportunity to do that, it takes less time to get their homes that built there compared to trying to do that here on the reservation.
What does this streamlining of the process mean for commercial development on Pueblo land?
Again, as tribes, specifically ones that are looking at economic development, there are opportunities out there that outside business entities want to do business on the reservation. But one thing that really hinders is also, again, the leasing. And if we do the process through BIA, it takes forever, and those businesses are there to make sure that they develop on Indian country. But one of the obstacles is, again, the length of how long the leasing approval is there.
We're speaking with Governor Arlen Kataki of Zuni Pueblo about the Hearth Act, which is a new federal law that was signed by President Obama last week that increases tribal authority over leasing of tribal land. Governor, does this new law have any impact on energy development on tribal land?
Yes, it did. Yes, it does. Again, it affords us as tribes an opportunity to work closely with those entities and not having to go too much and count on the BIA for the leasing.
What, in your mind, is the reason for this long delay that has been evident in the Bureau of Indian Affairs processing in the past with these mortgages and leases? Is it a lack of staff? Is it just a lot of work for that agency? What do you think is the cause of those long delays?
Apparently, the what we see here is, again, it will depend on which region. Each region does have responsibility to X amount of tribes who, if they are going through these processes, they refer that to BIA. And again, it will come down to the workload and the staffing itself, too. As we all know, that right now there's a budget crunch that has been placed for X amount of years. So, again, that affects the BIA and the staffing, too. But I do believe it's been the workload that has hampered the processes.
What about you, listeners? Have you attempted to buy a house on Pueblo land? Have you wanted to build your own home in your community on tribal land? We'd like to hear from you this morning. The number to call is 277-5866, locally here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can post your comments online at KUNM.org, and you can also email callinshow@KUNM.org. I did speak with First District Representative Martin Heinrich earlier this week about the Hearth Act. Martin Heinrich co-sponsored the legislation along with supporters from both sides of the congressional aisle. And Representative Heinrich says until now, it has often been a long, drawn-out process to get approval for land leases and home mortgages from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Let's hear from him.
Bottleneck here is that right now, if somebody wants to buy a home on Indian land, they go to get a mortgage, or if they want to build a home and they go to get a construction loan, every one of those gets approved by the BIA. And sometimes that takes a year, 2 years for them to get back to people. You can't functionally have a situation where it takes 2 years to get a mortgage. It just creates a situation where not enough homes are being built, and this legislation will make it much, much easier for tribes to approve their own leasing and mortgages, and then hopefully build a lot more homes on Indian country.
What are folks within the New Mexico housing industry saying about the potential economic impact of this law?
Well, I was talking to one of the tribal housing directors the other day, and he was saying that they employ their own tribal members to build the houses, and so when they're able to build more homes, employment goes up. And as you know, unemployment has always been higher on reservations than in the urban and suburban areas in the state. So this is really a great opportunity to put people to work in their own communities and then put people in homes where they can live in their traditional community and not feel like they have to drive to Santa Fe or Albuquerque and buy a home in the city.
And so since you have been serving in the House, how many pieces of legislation have you been involved with like this one? You were sponsoring this one, correct?
That's right. In fact, we wrote this legislation based on a conversation that I had with some tribal housing officials, and I had no idea up to that point how difficult it was just to get something as simple as a mortgage approved on trust land. And it led to this legislation. We drafted it early in 2009. We built a lot of momentum for it in the 111th Congress, but weren't quite able to get it across the finish line. And this time we hit it hard right out of the gate, and we're able to get it done in time to get it to the president's desk.
So how does that feel for you?
It feels great. I mean, it's a big victory for Indian Country. It's not every day, as you said, that this Congress produces legislation that can really change people's lives, and nothing touches people's lives more than a good home.
First District Representative Martin Heinrich, thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I spoke with Representative Martin Heinrich earlier this week about the Hearth Act. Again, that's what we're talking about today on the KUNM Call-In Show. It's the Helping Expedite and Advance Responsible Tribal Homeownership Act, and it was signed into law last week by President Barack Obama. We're joined on the line by Governor Arlen Kitake. He is the governor of Zuni Pueblo. Governor Kitake, in your mind, is this new law something that is going to increase jobs on Zuni Pueblo?
Exactly as Congressman Heinrich put it, it does create an opportunity for the tribes to really not only focus on housing but economic development on our respective reservations. And also one thing that I like to emphasize too is that there is an opportunity for tribal members that are living here on the reservation, but also we have to consider those that are living off the reservation and they want to come back home to their respective reservations, and these opportunities are there for them now, which was never in place.
Is housing one of the main reasons that folks leave the Pueblo?
Not really. It's because, again, for economic development, there's lack of jobs, specifically for some of those individuals that have gone to college and received their degrees for specific areas which in Indian Country we cannot have those, and those are available outside the reservation, and they're very fortunate to get those jobs.
So I understand that some tribes have been doing this kind of land management process themselves. I believe the Navajo Nation has already had this type of agreement with the federal government. Is Zuni Pueblo ready to do this? Has Zuni Pueblo been doing any of this yet? What is the Pueblo's position with respect to managing Zuni Pueblo land?
Well, right now, specifically for Zuni, we're already doing the mortgage lending program. But again, here with this Hearth Act, it requires the Zuni tribe within our tribal organization, our Zuni Realty Services, to start taking a lot of these leases into place now, since, BIA would not be involved in it. In certain cases, too, but the tribe will have to start working with our realty offices to get a lot of these leases in place. Residential and business leasing laws needs to be implemented. We're working on those, but again, it comes down to finances.
So is there going to be a drain on Zuni Pueblo then to develop and staff and create these land management institutions that you haven't, that you've been, that the BIA has been responsible for until this time?
Well, again, we don't want to let the federal government get it, be not taken care of, we still need to sit down with the federal government to discuss vital issues such as the federal government's trust responsibility to protect Indian lands, who will be responsible for environmental reviews and making federal funding available to tribes to implement the act. And so we will need to have discussions with the Department of Interior to address some of these issues and hopefully to work real closely with them for the Pueblo of Zuni. We have contracted the Realty Office, and that's one of the things that we need to talk to the federal government about is to try to secure more monies to increase the staffing and to start moving in the direction of having the tribes do their own leasing.
We're talking about the Hearth Act and the impact that this law that increases the opportunity for tribes to manage their own land leases for commercial and housing reasons, how that's going to affect Indian country here in New Mexico. We'd like to hear from you. The number to call locally is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can post your comments online, or you can email callinshow@kunm.org. We're speaking with Governor Kentucky from Zuni Pueblo, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The acclaimed Santa Fe Desert Chorale performs in Albuquerque on August 12th at 4 p.m. at Congregation Albert. Then hear Rachmaninoff's Glorious Vespers on August 18th at 8 p.m. at Cathedral Church of St. John. For tickets, call the Lenzik box office at 505-988-1234. For complete program information, visit desertchorale.org. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Desert Chorale.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and I'm speaking with Governor Kentucky of the Zuni Pueblo. Governor, I think one of the things that was new to me in understanding this issue is that when you buy a house on tribal land, you don't actually gain ownership of the land itself. Can you explain that and how that changes the situation for folks who are buying homes on Pueblo land?
Okay, well, basically, most Pueblo lands, including Zuni lands, is held in trust status. This means that legal title to the land is held by the U.S. government in trust for a specific tribe, unlike private lands, which can easily be transferred by sale, gift, or inheritance. Trust lands cannot be transferred without approval by the U.S. government, and they can never be sold since they are held in benefit for a tribe. This fact used to make mortgaging impossible on tribal lands. As a result, the majority of homes on Pueblo lands are HUD, assisted homes, and traditional homes go into depleted conditions for lack of money by tribal members to rehab.
So are, in your mind, with housing on the Zuni Pueblo, what proportion of housing is perhaps in need of rehab, or how many of your citizens are in need of new housing?
Well, approximately the last statistics that we received from our housing authority is approximately 1,100 requests for new homes, but also still consider that there are other homes that need to be rehabbed, and those are some of the things that we need to specifically take a look, specifically the traditional homes.
Does this law allow folks to get financing to do rehabilitation of existing houses?
Yes, it does.
And is that something that that folks would go through your mortgage office to do?
Yes.
Got it. Are you hearing yet from your community, from people who are eager to take advantage of the new opportunities in the law?
We have not, but we're still working with individuals prior to the Hearth Act on Section 184.
Got it. So the folks who you've been working with for those 2 years maybe that it's been taking, you're going to finish up with them first?
Yes.
Got it. That makes perfect sense. Well, I did take some time to speak with Floyd Tortalita. He is the executive director of the Acoma Pueblo Housing Authority. And I'd like to go to this interview with him now. He was going to join us live this morning, but he had a prior engagement. And I wanted to share parts of this conversation that I had with him. Let's go to this again is Floyd Tortalita. He is the executive director of the Acoma Pueblo Housing Authority.
Currently, throughout Indian country, there are several or quite a few tribes that do offer conventional mortgages to tribal members. And each tribe has its different protocols on how it is to acquire that type of housing. Unfortunately, here at the Pueblo of Acoma, we have not stepped forward in moving toward that venture and providing conventional mortgages, 184s, VA loans to our tribal members. We are currently moving through that, still working with our tribal administration and our tribal council in being able to provide that services to our tribal members. But the first step would be is starting to work with your tribal administration in the process. But what's going to happen here at Acoma, it would start off with the housing authority. Individuals will come to the housing authority, and we would point them in the direction of getting their land assignments, of what information needs to be taken to a bank to acquire a mortgage, and all other information. So really, it would start off with the housing authority.
How are houses owned now? Are they owned by the tribe and then rented to individuals in the community? What is the kind of current conditions of housing? Who owns what, and how did that come about?
Here at the Pueblo of Acoma, like I think many other reservations, any other Indian nations, the individual does not own the land, but they are given land assignment. And any other, and there are several types of housing here at the reservation. We do have, of course, our HUD-assisted units that will build with the utilization of HUD dollars. We also have a lot of private individual homes that have been built, again, by the individuals, or mobile homes, manufactured housing that may have been brought in to the reservation. But there is a continuous need of housing here at the Pueblo of Acoma. Currently on our waiting list, we have approximately 100-plus people on our waiting list at the Housing Authority, and that only reflects the numbers of those families that are below the median income level. Currently, our services do not extend beyond the lower-income families. In 2003, a study was done here at the reservation, where a reservation-wide assessment. At that time, the need was approximately $40 million to bring all existing homes to standard. That probably has doubled now within the last 11 years. As I have mentioned, we have currently 100 people on our waiting list. So that's almost a $25 million need there to bring it up to build the homes that are needed. Typically, a home from the time of bid on paper to the time the doorknob is turned and an individual walks into that home, it's probably about $250,000 per unit as an average cost from beginning to end. So we're looking at about a $25 million need to meet the current waiting list, but that doesn't reflect those homeowners or those individuals that are above the median income level that can afford conventional mortgages, those that do want to move home.
With this new law that was signed by President Obama last week, the Hearth Act, this shifts some of the responsibility from the Bureau of Indian Affairs when it comes to approving mortgages and leases of land, shifts it potentially back to the tribe. How is it going to affect your work with the Acoma Pueblo Housing Authority?
What it's going to do for us is it gives the tribe the opportunity to manage our long-term leasing. Currently, we don't provide conventional mortgages to our tribal members, but that's something we will be moving into in the next year, and it's going to be able to assist us in expediting the process, because currently we do deal with the BIA in taking care of our TSRs, and it's taken as long as 12, 18 months to be able to get our TSRs back, which would, I think, frustrate and hinder the process as far as closing on
Floyd, what is a TSR?
A title status report. It's any of the properties that the tribal puts forward in any project, whether it be housing with HUD assisted dollars or many of the other projects, whether it be community projects. Much of the land does go through the title status report that and has to be done by the BIA currently. As I mentioned, the time it takes, it does hinder some of our projects. There are some funding agencies that put time restrictions on the time they have to spend dollars, which could hinder the project where we're having to go through the title status report or working through the BIA. So what happened in 2009, I was in Washington with then Governor of the Pueblo of Acoma, Chandler Sanchez, and we met with Congressman Hynes at that time, and we expressed our frustrations with the BIA in working with the leasing of some of our properties. My most recent experience comes when I was working for the Pueblo of Laguna, where the BIA building was actually 30 feet from the housing office. And yet it was still taking approximately 18 months to get a title status report back from them. It could cause some issues as far as closing a mortgage. So at that time, Governor Sanchez and I had expressed these concerns with Congressman Heinrich. It was followed up with meetings that were also held with Congressman Heinrich with the Pueblo of Laguna, Pueblo of Zuni, Pueblo of Isleta, again expressing these concerns. With that, Congressman Heinrich introduced the Hearth Act, which gives the tribes the responsibility or gives them the opportunity to take the responsibility for managing their own long-term leasing.
And so there will be, your experience at Laguna and at Acoma, there will be some tribes that choose to continue to rely at least partially or mostly on the BIA for this type of process, right? Can you explain what kind of different circumstances might predicate tribes making different choices, at least at this point?
It's giving the tribes the opportunity. Those tribes that feel that they are ready to manage their own long-term leasing, they can take on that responsibility. It doesn't release the BIA from the trust responsibility to Indian Nation. So they are still going to have that responsibility unless the tribe themselves say, we're going to take on that responsibility. Like any other community, whether it be on reservation, off reservation, there are those tribes that are, well, first and foremost, financially stable to be able to manage and be able to set forth and run such an office. There are some tribes that just don't have the resources to be able to set up their own land office, manage their own land office. The Pueblo of Acoma has had a land office for many years. I know here the Pueblo of Acoma, if they choose to, would be able to manage their own long-term leasing. Again, it's up to the tribe at this point and what they choose to do. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. The tribe would have to establish their own long-term leasing regulations. Once those are established, they'll start working forward to that or working forward to being able to manage their own leasing.
Floyd, what in your mind does this legislation do for tribal sovereignty in the U.S.?
It moves toward the big word I think that many have always talked about in regards to self-determination. Again, it's given the tribes that responsibility, given those tribes that say, yes, we can manage it, or yes, we're able to take on our own matters and manage it without having to go through the federal government.
Does this new law set up a system for tribes that are maybe not positioned quite right yet to do it themselves, who need to build the institutions, the capacity, the regulations, as you mentioned? Is there a system within this new law that kind of creates a path for tribes to move towards this increased responsibility if they choose, even though they may not be ready to take it all on yet now?
I haven't read the final version of the law that comes out, but I'm not aware of any type of funding that would be able to assist the tribes in moving, taking this responsibility on. Really, it's, again, for those tribes that I feel that are responsible. You know, now it's that time for those tribes to request that if they need that additional assistance.
It will be kind of on the tribes to say, hey, yes, we want to do this. We want the BIA to help us figure out how to do this.
Yes.
Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Floyd Tortolita is the executive director of the Acoma Pueblo Housing Authority. We're talking about the Hearth Act that was signed into law last week by President Obama. Floyd was unable to join us live this morning, and that's why you just heard a taped interview with him. We are joined live this morning by Governor Arlen Kitake of Zuni Pueblo. And I wanted to come back to you, Governor, in this question of self-determination. What are your thoughts on the impact that this law will have on Zuni Pueblo?
There will be a positive impacts. Again, as mentioned, it does create opportunities for tribe. And if we truly do talk about self-determination, it allows us an opportunity to provide services to our own community members, which the tribe itself will be providing.
What kind of an undertaking is it for your government to develop this kind of realtor legislation, codes for buildings? Do you feel like you're kind of starting from scratch?
Basically, I think what right now we have plans to enact the residential and business leasing laws with minimal processes to expedite the closing of home loans on Zuni lands. Also, too, is that, again, we have to work with our BIA to make sure that, as I mentioned earlier, we are contracting the realty department from BIA to the tribe and having to work with them because, again, if that process is there not to having to go through BIA on leasing, the tribe has to do it. We have to work on specifically the tribal leasing laws, which still are going to have to require BIA approval.
We're speaking with Governor Kitake from Zuni Pueblo. If you have questions for the governor about the impact that the Hearth Act will have on Zuni Pueblo or for his insights into what this law means for the state of New Mexico and Indian country across the Southwest, please call 277-5866. That's the local number here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. We'll take your comments on our website, KUNM.org, and you can also send emails to callinshow@KUNM.org. One of the things that Floyd Tortolita mentioned when we were speaking was that he had understood that I believe it was Laguna Pueblo had lost some American Recovery and Reinvestment Act stimulus funding because of the amount of time that it was taking for land leasing to be processed by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, that there were some time limits on that funding. Governor Kitake, has the Zuni Pueblo experienced the same kind of thing where there was funding that was available for the Pueblo but that had a time limit on it and that the delays in the processing of leases caused the Pueblo to lose the funding?
Currently, I don't believe we have done that, but we have come close to that. But it comes down to communication, making sure that our own BIA, Zuni does have our own Zuni agency here, so very close communication with our superintendent and always having to follow up with currently what is the status of our leasing and whatnot, so that, again, it comes down to communication, making sure that follow-through is done, so that we were very fortunate, I do believe, at this time we have not lost anything.
Well, that's good to hear. What is the first step for Zuni now that this law has been passed? What is kind of at the top of your list as far as what you're going to do next?
Working with our realty department and working with our current BIA Zuni agents to make sure that to get our realty department up to speed, having to sit down with them and go through this whole HART Act and the opportunities that is in place for us, but how can we improve our Zuni Realty Department to make sure that we implement, our leasing laws and how it's going to be done, and basically look at timelines and when we can implement it, what needs to be done. As I mentioned, if we're going to be doing our own leasing laws, tribal leasing laws, it still has to be approved by the BIA.
So the laws and the regulations that you create, you're going to work to create those, and then they have to go to the BIA and be approved before you can then, as an independent tribal nation, administer those laws. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Got it. And that, I'm guessing, that time, that process may take a little bit of time also.
Well, as I mentioned, too, it's, again, depending on your working relationship with the Bureau of Indian Affairs and having, and they understand this, and I'm pretty sure they will appreciate that, because this is one less burden to them to go through this whole process of lease approvals. So if it's going to be given to the tribe to do that, then I'm pretty sure they'll expedite this, knowing that we all have these leasing laws in place, and they'll go ahead and expedite this so that the tribe will take over their own leasing laws.
I think sometimes I've heard people criticize New Mexico state building codes, for example, for being very complicated and just not simple. And I'm wondering if you look at this opportunity to write your own regulations about housing for Zuni Pueblo, do you see that as an opportunity to make the system more simple?
Yes, it does. And again, our community members, have to build their houses the way they want it built. And I guess as tribes, we can work it to where it fits the needs of the community.
Are there traditional housing designs for Zuni Pueblo that are kind of different than what we might be accustomed to in municipalities across the state that you can describe for us? How are Zuni homes perhaps different than other homes in New Mexico?
Well, for traditional homes, majority of the homes Pueblos, we like to have extended families living in our homes to keep the family unity there. So that creates when you're building a home, to create a large home so that you accommodate some of those family extended family members to be living with you there. So, again, it could be a six-bedroom home or more to accommodate them.
Great. Governor Kitaki of Zuni Pueblo, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. But one thing that I just really like to say with regarding to the HART Act, this is a great opportunity for Indian country and tribes, and they should not let that go by the side. Tribes need to embrace this opportunity and maximize the benefits that come along with it for their respective Indian tribes. And as mentioned earlier, too, that there's going to be some tribes that are still not up to speed on some of their leasing. And if they do choose to stay with BIA and still work on developing their own realty department, that's the decisions that those tribes make. And with this HART Act, those tribes that are well in advance, this is a great opportunity to move not only in the housing arena, but for economic development, to really truly bring economic development into their respective tribes to create revenue and employment to their respective tribes.
Any last words from you, Governor Kitaki, for our listeners as far as what this means for New Mexico as a whole and for all tribes in New Mexico to be, you know, to have access to this power over land returned to the tribes from the federal government in a way?
One message is take this opportunity to work with their respective tribes, those that are looking at developing their tribal lease laws, to take advantage of it. And we do know that the majority of our community members who are living off the reservation wants to come back home. And also for tribes to take advantage of this and afford that opportunity to your own tribal members regarding to these. And I think, again, for Zuni, this would also create an area designated for further housing development.
Great. Governor Arlen Kitaki of Zuni Pueblo, I know you have a 9 o'clock meeting. Thank you so much for your time this morning to talk to us about the Hearth Act. Good luck for the rest of your day, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on there.
It was my pleasure. That was Governor Arlen Kitaki of Zuni Pueblo. We also heard earlier this hour from Floyd Tortolita. He is the executive director of the Acoma Pueblo Housing Authority. And we heard from First District Representative Martin Heinrich, who introduced the Hearth Act that was passed by Congress and signed into law last week by President Obama. As we've been discussing, the law increases the control that tribes have over land leasing and mortgages and home ownership on tribal lands across the U.S. And of course, here in New Mexico. This is the KUNM Call-In Show, and I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks so much for joining us for the KUNM Call-In Show this morning. I am looking for your feedback on what you'd like to hear about on education next week on the KUNM Call-In Show. You can post your comments online at KUNM.org. You can also send an email to callinshow@KUNM.org. We do post the audio from these shows on our website, KUNM.org. So if you've missed a portion of the show or you want to see about previous shows that we've aired here on KUNM, again, you can go to KUNM.org, click on Call-In Show under News, and you can find previous programs and audio from those previous programs, including links to websites from organizations and individuals that we have featured on the show. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Next week, again, we will be talking about education, and I'm interested in what specific aspect of education you are most interested in hearing about. Again, you can email callinshow@KUNM.org. Then in 2 weeks, we'll have a couple members of the ChemCam team, the folks who designed the ChemCam that landed with the Mars rover Curiosity this weekend on Mars. And we'll also be hearing from a New Mexico State University researcher who's looking into dust storms on Mars and what can be learned about Mars by studying dust storms on Earth. So it'll be all Mars all the time on the KUNM Call-In Show in 2 weeks. That's education next week and Mars the following week here on the KUNM Call-In Show. If you'd like to give suggestions for future Call-In Show topics, or if you'd like to give us feedback on this program, you can email callinshow@KUNM.org and do visit us online at KUNM.org. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and this is KUNM.